Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 11th day of March 2021, and I am thrilled to have back on the program one of my very favorite guests, who has become a frequent guest on this program. He's calling all the way from London, England today, Reverend Jeff Thomas, who beginning in 1965, served for over 50 years as pastor at Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales, and he is the author of many books, including his latest, The Legendary Casey Jones and Other American Folk Tales. Today we are going to be addressing Gospelizing Children Through Literature, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Reverend Jeff Thomas.
Thank you very much. It's my delight and privilege to be here on the program with you again, and yes, thank you for inviting me still.
And I must admit, I was quite surprised, not in any kind of a negative way, but I was quite surprised to hear about your latest book. You are not the first person that pops into my head when I think of Casey Jones and other American folktales, since you are a Welshman and also a Christian theologian and scholar and evangelist. So tell us what so intrigued you about the story of Casey Jones and American folktales that led you to write this new book.
Lockdown, really. I'm not able to get out and here, and I can't come to America to preach, and I a lot of local trips. And so I'm in the home, and I've had ideas about writing. You know, I've written about half a dozen books, and so I've had these ideas buzzing around my brain, and so I did four books. I did one on Aesop's fables, and I try to make that alive by not moralizing. So when I told the story of the boy who cried wolf when there wasn't a wolf, I didn't say, so children never tell lies. I say, Jesus never told a lie. All his warnings and all his beseechings were absolutely down the line. And then I did one on Hans Christian Andersen and another one on the Brothers Grimm, and got some of those stories. The king who was so vain that he believed the liars who told him that he was going to put on such beautiful clothes that they were invisible, and so on. And I got some lessons from that. I tried to make it Christocentric. And then last of all, I came to the stories from America. You know, I lived 3 years in Pennsylvania and loved the United States, and so learned a lot and saw things that I hadn't seen before, and so treated the same way these stories, Brer Fox and Brer Rabbit, of course, and Johnny Appleseed, and the story of Pocahontas, and Casey Jones. I got 10 stories, all of them. I did 10 stories, and they're coming out every 3 months. The first one, Casey Jones, I hope the American homeschool market will want to read them, because I've got such Christian teaching behind it all, and people have read it and have really wrote wonderful commendations of it, like Don Whitney, for example. Don Whitney, professor of biblical spirituality and associate dean at Southern Baptist Seminary. I've never read another like it. He's gathered both famous American folktales and historical vignettes and blended them with gospel truths, all delivered in a way only a great Welsh storyteller and preacher like Jeff can tell them. Whether you're new to the story or it's been years since you've read them, you'll enjoy encountering them in this classic collection. Well, how kind of Don to write like that. So, and Johnny Gibson, the prof of Old Testament at Westminster Seminary, well, he just loves them. So, I'm hoping that Day One, who is publishing and sending them out, that they'll get them circulating in the United States.
Great, yes, and I happen to know that right here in Pennsylvania, one of my advertisers, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, is an official distributor of Day One Publications books.
Oh, that's great.
So I'll be looking forward to getting those in my own hands to give out to friends who have children and grandchildren. And it is amazing. Yeah. It's amazing to me that in this day and age of cancel culture, you have actually brought a fresh new look at Brer Rabbit being one of the folk tales of Uncle Remus, which is not exactly politically correct in these days.
There we are. It takes sometimes a stranger to see some beauty that we take for granted, and we get surprised that we hadn't seen what was there already.
Well, our theme today is gospelizing children through literature. And, you know, there are disagreements in the body of Christ, even amongst Reformed believers, about the state of children and whether or not they are to be viewed as a mission field or as Christians, just because they were baptized and raised in Christian homes. And I thank God that you and I, who are Reformed Baptists, are upholding the biblical truth that may be in disagreement with a segment of our Reformed brethren. And we believe that children are indeed a mission field. We are not to presume that they are of the elect just because they were born in Christian households, and just because they may have been even baptized when in a Baptist home, they wouldn't be baptized typically until they're teenagers or older. But I'm glad to know that you believe that the gospel must be given to children, even the children of Christian parents.
Yeah. Well, I think Luke 2, 51 and 52. I think those are fundamental texts for what the Bible requires of us in addressing children. We're told about Jesus that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And there's a fourfold approach to the nurture of our children based on that. Firstly, he increased in stature. He grew physically, infancy, childhood, adolescence, manhood. And every time children hear grace being said, and or say the Lord's Prayer, and give us this day our daily bread, then God is concerned about the physical side of our bodies, and God expects them to glorify him in their bodies, that they present them as living sacrifices to God, that they, one day their bodies will be temples of the Holy Ghost, that he'll take up his residence in them. And so it's important, proper nutrition, we're not against that. No, we like that, and we want to teach our children the right attitude to their bodies. They don't want them to be ashamed of their bodies, or immodest and prudish, or pensive about their bodies, or pamper them, or harm their bodies in any way, or idolize them. And we are surrounded by hideous influences to the contrary. And the Bible says, glorify God with your bodies. Serve him cheerfully with your bodies. Learn physical and manual skills. Use your hands. Get proficiency in basic abilities. Saul of Tarsus learned how to make tents. It was very useful to him when he'd go into a city and there was no one there that he could work for. And so that's the first thing about our bodies. It's important enough for the Holy Spirit and Luke to tell us here that the Son of God increased in stature, in coordination and balance and manual skills. He was a good carpenter. And then secondly, he increased in wisdom. There was intellectual development. He asked why, and his father and mother explained things to him. He gathered information. He made the connection. He grew in his vocabulary. He learned about himself and his environment. We're told about Timothy that from a child he knew the Holy Scriptures. So we want them to know that the Son of God, when he came into the world, he grew in practical sagacity and common sense. And he did that with the Scriptures and what his mother taught him, what she had treasured in her heart and shared with him. And we want our children to go on that voyage of discovery and love the creation. There are no booby traps there that are going to blow up in their faces, no area of knowledge which can be anti-Christ, because Christ made all things. And so that's the second great thing. And we've almost lost that concern, as though memorization was no longer important. Our ways of storing knowledge are very sophisticated these days, but our parents carried about with them in their minds tremendous masses of information. So it isn't certainly about intelligence, or it's on wisdom, divine knowledge applied, and Jesus all the time applying from the Bible knowledge. And then thirdly, he increased in social skills, and that again is what we want to teach our children. He increased in favor with men. In other words, he got on with people. He was interested in people. He was well disposed to them. He was a good communicator, today's tired cliche. He set before them quite deliberately his ability to understand them and be patient with them. And we tend to depreciate that skill. And, of course, some religious people, Chris, are conspicuously lacking in graciousness. The people in Nazareth spoke well of him as a boy, and we want our neighbors, if they don't go to church at all, they say, oh, we're glad of Jeff as a neighbor. We're glad of Chris as a neighbor. He got on. He grew in favor. Women at the well said to Mary, ah, you've got a lovely boy there, haven't you? Oh, I wish my boy was half as kind and thoughtful as your boy was. And, of course, all that, it didn't stop them chanting, crucify, crucify, because he made the gospel clear what they were and what they needed in order to know Christ. And so there was that dimension to him. Remember how Peter says, if you are persecuted, make sure it's not because you were insulting and discourteous, because you were selfish and crude and unthinking. Make sure you were persecuted because of righteousness, because of the Christ you loved. And lastly, then, Jesus increased in favor with God. And that is so wonderful, isn't it? You remember Hannah, she went to the temple with the child Samuel. And she said, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And that's where we stand over the wonder of an infant life, its perfection, its complexity, its potential. You've given me a child. Oh, now, I want him to grow in favor with you. I want him to be your child. I want him to serve you and love you and honor you and obey you. I want him to burn for you. I want him to be yours. I don't mean full-time temple service, that he becomes a missionary, but I mean I want him to love the Lord with all his heart and to love his neighbor as himself. And I want to instruct him in the truth of the Bible. And Jesus developed religiously. You see his hunger for this when he goes to Jerusalem at 12, and he's there in the temple, and he's asking them questions, and he's answering them brilliantly. And I think then that those are the four standards that we have as Christian parents, as Christian pastors, as Sunday school teachers, as school teachers, what we want for our children. Of course, our religion is different. We say at the end of every day, sorry, Father, sorry for the sins of today, forgive me through Jesus Christ. But our Lord, he never needed to plead for forgiveness. Every day, he saw more and more of what God wanted for him, what God desired for him, and he lived it out every day. He counted for God. So that's the fourfold demand that God makes on every parent to be our children's educators. And we don't answer to Caesar. We answer to God for training them in these ways. And we can't delegate our children's education to any institution. We've got this responsibility, and God helps us. And God helped me with three daughters, one married to a preacher, one married to an elder, one married to a deacon, and nine grandchildren, eight grandsons. One of them followed me as the pastor of the church, and two others are in full-time Christian work. God helped and God blessed. In spite of my own inconsistencies, the angel in the pulpit could become a devil in the kitchen. And God was merciful to me so that they, in spite of my inconsistencies, grew to love my Savior.
Amen. Well, let me give our listeners our email address. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal private matter. Perhaps you're asking because Jeff had over 50 years of experience in the pastoral ministry before he retired from that specific role. Perhaps you have a pastoral question for him and it involves personal matters. We could readily understand that you would want to remain anonymous and we will grant that request. But if it's just a general question, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence, and that's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We do have Christopher in Western Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Christopher asks, I know that Christians disagree over teaching their children myths and legends like the stories of Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and other things that are fictitious, although I do recognize that at least Santa Claus had some basis of a true figure from history, St. Nicholas. But I was wondering what your view is on that. Should we, in essence, lie to our children, even though they're cute, adorable stories that get them excited every year during a particular month, and they have things to look forward to, and they seem to love and get so enthusiastic over these stories? Is it right, because we are, in reality, lying?
Well, I do think it's wrong to emphasize the Santa Claus story and make it so sacred and beyond question and terrify children with this thought that this old man with a beard's coming down the chimney the next day, and he's going to reward you if you're good. And I think a bit of fun about him and a twinkle in your eye when you tell these stories, and children will catch on that this is a different kind of legend, but that there's a lot of fun in it, Alan. I like presents at Christmas, Chris. And I think children love that. They come to terms with it. So, I think there are differences at Christmas, aren't there, between the decorations, the feasting, the family get together, the Christmas tree. I don't suppose in Long Island there are many worshippers of Norwegian tree gods. I don't suppose that people are going to take offense and are going to fall away from the Christian faith because they see you've got a Christmas tree in your window. And I think that the break between those things and any form of religion has long died. And they know that it's the midwinter festive season. And I think you can trust children not to be offended, but you know, hey, steady on in speaking solemnly and holily about the reindeer pulling through the skies. You tell it in a fun way and laugh about it, and then they'll know that it's not like the resurrection from the tomb and Jesus walking on water and the great signs there that he did that showed that he was God the Son.
Amen. Well, thank you, Christopher. And we are going to our first station break. And once again, if you'd like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Jeff Thomas on Gospelizing Children Through Literature right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable
on the
current coronavirus
pandemic.
Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Buttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Jeff Thomas. He is well known in the Reformed community as being a prolific writer and conference speaker for such ministries as Banner of Truth. And today we are addressing the very important theme of gospelizing children through literature. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And Jeff Thomas, do you think that it is very wise of us as Christians to, even before having children, know in advance that we have to be very cautious and very careful about not only having a view of our own children as idols, exalting their place in this world to the point where, even though we would never dare say this, or perhaps even consciously think it, but to the place of God himself, or even above God himself, or at the same time, sentimentalizing children. And because, of course, when they're not misbehaving and they're not throwing tantrums, they're not being disobedient, people typically view their children, especially when they're very, 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 very young, as lovable and adorable, and they cannot dare even think of these children being lost and in need of a savior. Aren't both of those things very important when we look at children, especially those that happen to be our own?
They certainly are. They certainly are. And you know, you're going to be disappointed if you've elevated your children in that way. You know, you hear a mother saying, "I don't understand it." She says, "I prayed for him, and I've brought the gospel to him, and now he doesn't believe. I can't understand why God doesn't save him." She's elevated him so much, and the voice of grace never speaks like that. Voice of grace will say, "I should have been much more patient and loving and consistent with credible godliness in my life. But in spite of all my failures, God has saved some of my children. They are true believers in Jesus Christ. Isn't God's grace wonderful?" And that comes from having a right view of the heart of man that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the child's need to personally acknowledge his sin and his need of a savior, and patience and love, but not to elevate and make a god of your children. I didn't live for my children. I live for the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let's see. We have... I was just looking at a question, and it disappeared from my very eyes. Oh! This is a question. It's not even a question. It's just a comment of encouragement. I know that before the program began, I believe you were telling me that you have one of your adult children living in Germany. Is that right?
No, my wife's sister is in Germany. That's it.
Okay. Well, I have an email from a listener in Germany. I want to give my greetings to Robert. I don't know what city in Germany he lives in. But he says, "Good evening from Germany, sir. I would like to write you this message just to express my appreciation about your ministry through your Iron Sharpens Iron radio show from Germany. I listen to it regularly and benefit a lot from it, and I gain much insights on various topics and things happening in Northern America."
Well,
so thank you all, and God bless you.
Child of Martin Luther, aren't you? Yeah, well done. I'm so glad that you've found a place where your hunger for truth and for understanding and wisdom finds a place which touches your understanding, your mind, and your affections. And oh, may you go on in the Christian life and find some gospel church nearby.
Amen. And we have, let's see, another one that I was looking at just moments ago, and it vanished from my eyes. Oh, Bobby in Hartsdale, New York. Bobby says, "I have become increasingly opposed to something known as children's church and youth groups. I think that they unnecessarily separate children from the same worship services and studies that the adults in the congregation are being witness to. Now, I am not opposed to all children's instruction. I'm just talking about the way that some churches function, where there seems to be a permanent separation of young from old, thinking that the gospel always needs to be dumbed down. And I understand, once again, that there is a place for toddlers and others, but they carry this on too far in the ages of these children through teen years and so on. I was wondering what your guests' thoughts were on
that. That is such an important question. And I inherited a church where there was always a children's story after the second hymn. And so I would find it difficult to justify one section, the old people or the young women or whatever, having a slot like that. But I would only plead how Jesus, carrying his cross, confronts the mourning, wailing women. And though the crowds are all around him, he stops. And now he addresses just them. And he says, you know, I don't want your pity. Don't you mourn for me. Think about yourselves and what's going to happen in your generation and your children, and when you will envy those that had no children. Well, judgment's coming. You get ready to mourn. So he addressed his words to them. And so I used that moment then, that time. I used it, for example, to go through the confession, the catechism, the Westminster Catechism. And the children got up and they said their catechism verses, and I explained it to them, or did a series on the attributes of God or whatever. And the church I attend now, and I attend a wonderful church. I'm a member there. My minister, he's the best minister in the world. And he speaks well to the children. He's gone through Christ as prophet, priest, and king. And the attributes of God, it fits in well. And then the children go out, the little ones go out for the sermon itself. But they're there for that part, and we're saying, you are important to us. Well, you know, I understand that, and but I don't want children that are 14 years of age to be going out and not being present for the sermon. Once you're in high school, and younger than that, you should be there listening to the sermon, the word of God. God loves his little ones to be there with them.
So you believe there is a place for separating very young children, but not that they would be, that would carry on even through teen years.
Of course.
And so on.
Noisy children are a distraction to the people sitting around them, and they should be taken out. Little ones who are restless, you either keep them in and they crayon or whatever if they're 2 or 3 years of age. You have to show some sympathy and understanding to these kids and their parents.
We have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania, who says, I'm looking forward to getting a hold of your own books, but I was wondering what other books specifically for children you might be able to recommend.
Yes. There are many, many now, aren't there? If you look at the books colors that are advertised and support Iron Sharpens Iron, they will recommend books to you, and I would think that would be the best thing for you to do. Email them and ask your questions to them. Now it's just my great-grandchildren. I have five of them, four grandsons, and a little girl has just arrived, the first girl. That's a great-grandchild. And I'm learning from their parents what books they are finding helpful. And so I hope you'll find my books will be helpful. And some are designed for the ones on Aesop's Fables are particularly designed for a mother or father to read to their children and to learn the lessons from them before they go to bed at night.
Now, are all of those books for children published by Day One?
Yes. The Day One do the four. Yes.
Well, if you go to cvbbs.com, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com, CVBBS.com. You can ask for the Day One publications written by our guest, Jeff Thomas, and Jeff happens to spell his name G-E-O-F-F, and they will definitely have those books when they are actually in print. Now, the latest book on Casey Jones, is that actually in print? I know it's this month.
Yes, that's selling well, and that's the only one. It'll be every 3 months until the end of the year, and then they'll come out as a box set of four by the end of the year.
Great. And also, cvbbs.com happens to have a toll-free number. You have to call this number between 10:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern Time. It's 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. And always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would also check out one of our primary sponsors, Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and do a search of their entire website for children's literature. And they I know that they also have books about parenting and that side of the issue as well. Well, we actually have to go to our midway break right now. If you would like to join us on the air, please use this time to write down a question for Jeff Thomas and send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as I keep repeating, please always give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Also, please write down as much of the information as possible provided by as many of our advertisers as possible so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, because we rely upon our advertisers to exist, and they will be further ensured to remain our advertisers if they enjoy the responses they are receiving. So at the very least, reach out to our advertisers if you can't patronize them by purchasing a product or using a service. Reach out to them by thanking them for sponsoring the show, if indeed you love the show and you don't want it to disappear. But don't go away, God willing. We are going to be right back after these messages with more of Jeff Thomas and gospelizing your children through literature. Don't go away.
Fellowship with one another as we're walking in the light.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Bodie Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required.
Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Basolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is a vital, a premier, a primary sponsor of this program. Without their continued advertising and the finances that come through that, we would likely have to go off the air, barring a financial miracle from God. We rely upon them and their support so much. So please, if you love this show, fall in love with solid-ground-books.com as well. And not only will you be blessing us by helping to keep an advertiser happy, but you'll be blessing yourself and anyone for whom you purchase gifts from solid-ground-books.com, because they are publishers and sellers of the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. And I know that my guest, Jeff Thomas, has a very high regard for Solid Ground Christian Books as well. Do you not, brother?
Indeed. I love that dear brother who runs that. He's preached for me in Aberystwyth. He loves Wales, too. So he's doubly someone I admire.
Amen. Well, always remember, when you're purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com, always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Jeff Thomas, we just have a couple of more announcements to make. If you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, sending in checks the old-fashioned way through the United States Postal Service, Well, then, when you click support at IronTruppensIronRadio.com, you'll also see a physical mailing address appear on the screen where you can mail checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We certainly do need your advertising dollars in an urgent way. And so we would love to help you launch an ad campaign as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with what we believe, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what we believe. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Always remember, folks, that I don't want my listeners siphoning money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to support their own local church where they are a member. Please don't do that. In other words, don't punish your church financially by blessing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Also, if you are really struggling to survive, please do not put your family in financial peril or jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for church and family. Providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show and you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have money left over for recreational purposes and frivolous spending and sitting around collecting interest, well, please use some of that money to help us to exist if indeed you love the show. We really do need it, folks. We have been hit hard financially during the coronavirus pandemic hysteria because it has hurt many in our audience financially. People are giving less. They're giving less frequently. People are advertising less, even though we do praise God from the very at the very top of our lungs here for the new advertisers that we have had join us very recently. We thank God for that. But we are definitely in an urgent need of your financial help at this time. So please go to IronTruppensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church. I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically sound, faithful churches, and I may be able to help you find a church, possibly even right around the corner from where you live, no matter where on the planet Earth you do live. I have helped people in our audience find churches that on occasion are minutes away from their houses. They didn't even know these churches existed, or they didn't know that the churches that they pass by every day were theologically sound. So if you are in that category, you need a church that is biblically faithful, or you have a loved one who needs a church that's biblically faithful, or you're going on vacation somewhere and want to visit a church that's biblically faithful, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, but "I need a church" in the subject line. And we are now back with our guest, Jeff Thomas. We are discussing with him gospelizing children through literature. And if you have a question, please send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And we have an anonymous listener who says that she has very close friends, or it's a he, I'm not sure, very close friends who have adopted children from Ukraine, and the children have mental problems that are very serious. They have been very violent towards the other children and never stop in their threats and in their disobedience. I was wondering what a fine Christian minister like your guest would have to say about the special needs of children like this.
How terribly sad. Dear, what love and prayer should be directed towards that father and mother. What understanding, what help, a rota of women in the church, particularly men, are out at work, or but when they've retired, they can go along, and maybe they can do something. They can take the children for a walk. They can give the parents a break. Women can cook a meal and bring it across once a week. I know we had two children with learning difficulties in our church in Aberystwyth, and we then, through the generosity of Christians through the country, we opened a home, and now there are 16 much older people that live there and have a Christian environment. Not all churches are able to do that. It must be a givenness of the Lord, and there must be some unanimity amongst the people of God that this is the Lord's will, and whatever God asks for, he will also provide. And we can say, ask what you will as long as you provide what you're asking for. You'll help us. You'll bless us. So I think it's a challenge. Adopting children is a challenge. But if they are handicapped or have learning difficulties and there's violence, I am terribly sorry for them, and admire the greatness of their faith that want to help children like that.
And I would ask our listeners to pray for the parents of these adopted children, mm-hmm. and that they have the patience and the perseverance and endurance to be the best Christian parents they can be, and also for the children themselves, that God, even in miraculous ways, might lead these children out of these states of mind.
Quite so.
We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. And Susan Margaret asks, there are disagreements even amongst Reformed Christians over whether or not we should ever use illustrations in Christian books that include pictures of Jesus.
Yes.
And I was wondering what your opinion was on this. Some include them with the caveat that the pictures are only stick figures and very nondescript. Others would rule out any kind of a drawing or picture that would be intended to look like Jesus Christ. What are your thoughts on this?
Yes, that has been a long debate now. Iconography, the making of icons, statues, and then pictures of Jesus. I think evangelical publishers tend to be wise. If we don't put a human figure, are we suggesting that Jesus didn't have a body? And so they have a picture of someone's back, or they do drawings that are not significant in showing us any particular features.
Like a silhouette or something. Like a silhouette or something like that.
A silhouette, yes. That kind of thing. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the concern, and they want to honor the Lord. They don't want to break the commandment, the second commandment about not making any image. And but if you have a handsome mane of blonde hair down to his shoulders, no Caucasian. You know, oh my, I don't like those pictures. I want to apologize to my Afro-American brothers and say I'm sorry that's hopeless. He lived in the Middle East. He wasn't a Scandinavian blonde, was he? And so I deplore that miscaricature of Jesus.
And the controversy extends beyond literature. Movies, Christian parents frequently watch movies about Jesus with their children. They're starving for movies that are appropriate for young eyes and ears. And when something that is about Jesus comes out, they're more than quick to jump at that. And there are even amongst very conservative Reformed Baptists, there are disagreements on that.
There really are.
Have you come to a specific conclusion on that, about movies and films?
I tend to be quite negative about movies. That's not my...
Is that just because they've been poorly done, or because of the very issue of Jesus being depicted in a film?
Both. I don't think they've grasped the heart of it and the teaching of the gospel of man's sin and deliverance through God sending his son. That doesn't come through very clearly. And then the resurrection isn't as transparently, magnificently joyful an event as it should be, the great climax. So,
we have John in Bangor, Maine, who says, "The Bible is filled with stories about brutal violence and murder and rape and sexual perversion and sexual sin. How do we explain these stories from the scriptures, some of which are very important to little children, and do we not begin to tell those stories to children until they are in their teen years?"
Yeah, you've got to know your children and how psychologically, emotionally wise they are and how sensitive they are. I mean, this is the real world, isn't it? And there are bullies and there are horrible accidents, and it's a grieving, groaning world in which we live. And the Bible reflects that, and the only one who wasn't like that at all was our Savior Jesus Christ. And I think you've got to be careful. The Bible is never masochistic. For example, the Bible never describes crucifixion and what it means. And I've groaned at the length that some preachers will go to in describing what crucifixion was. I know that it's not in the Bible, but for one reason. It was very common on a crossroads. As you'd walk, they'd stumble across a body hanging there. There was an ugliness, a cruelty about Roman law, and there was no need then in the Bible for crucifixion to be explained. And even when it talks about then the adultery of David or the behavior of Hosea's wife, there's a restraint in what it does there, and we should be as restrained as Scripture in talking about these things to children.
Oh, well, here's...
To adults, to anyone.
Right. Here is a question that is very much an excellent segue to that. We have, let's see, I was just looking at a CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, wants to know, how young should children be before you start to teach them about hell?
Well, if they're going to a gospel church, they're going to hear about it from the pulpit. And they'll hear about it in the proportion that it is found in Scripture. And they'll hear about it on the lips of the Lord Jesus himself. But they'll hear about it in a different way from the proclamation that we preachers make of the good news of Jesus Christ. We proclaim heaven. We proclaim the resurrection of the crucified Savior. We proclaim the blessings of justification, the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the heart and theme of our declaration in our affirmation of the reality of these things. But we also mention then perversion and cruelty and sexual sin and the hatred that God has of torture and the judgment that does await us. It's appointed unto men after death, and the great separation, and the picture language of Jesus, and very tenderly we are to speak of the things, and God will honor our desire then to speak of them so that these children don't go there, and their parents and the cynics who come, we speak not to crush them, but to deliver them from the judgment. There are two roads, and one road leads to life, but one road leads to destruction, and many are on that road, and we long to deliver them and tell them of the exit from the one who says, I'm the door of deliverance from destruction to eternal life.
We have a listener who's asking a question that was already asked, but I actually am now more prepared to answer it. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who wants suggestions for books for children, and I'm assuming she's obviously speaking of Christian books. Banner of Truth, and you remember you could get all of Banner of Truth's books from cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. And you could go to the Banner of Truth website and then order them at cvbbs.com once you've made your list. If they don't have the copies in stock or the books in stock, they will get them very quickly. Banner of Truth is minutes away from cvbbs.com. But there are two female authors that have written a number of children's books published by Banner of Truth, Allison Brown and Rebecca Vandudward. There is a book called Bible Numbers by Allison Brown, A Bible Alphabet by Allison Brown, Bible Names by Allison Brown, and there is a book about, I know this book, it would be near and dear to the heart of my guest today. It's about Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's called The Doctor Who Became a Preacher.
Yes.
By Rebecca Vandudward.
Yep.
And The Woman Who Loved to Give Books by Rebecca Vandudward. And The Man Who Preached Outside by Rebecca Vandudward.
Yep.
And The Woman Who Helped a Reformer by Rebecca Vandudward. And there are many others that are available. Bible Animals and Wait Till You See the Butterfly and Heroes of the Faith. So cvbbs.com has these books. They also have books, believe it or not, that many of you might not be aware of. One of the great heroes of the Christian faith, modern-day heroes, the late R.C. Sproul, who just went home to heaven not long ago. He has written and has books available that are beautifully illustrated for children. So when you contact CVBBS.com, you can ask them specifically about R.C. Sproul's books for children.
Yep. Good. And then there's God Made Them Great, isn't it? That's an early banner book for young people, stories of great leaders and missionaries and reformers. Yeah. So fine books. I'm so glad you mentioned those. I'd forgotten completely about them, Chris. That was a word in season.
Amen. Well, I'm glad that I, during a station break, started to look into what Banner of Truth had to offer, because I distinctly remembered seeing them at CVBBS.
And there are Sinclair Ferguson's books on some of the church fathers, three or four of them, like Ignatius and others, that we don't know a lot about. And he's written very helpful illustrated books that the Banners brought out.
Amen. Let me ask you a question, backtracking a little bit. We were speaking about an appropriate age to start telling children about hell.
Yeah.
What about warning your children about they themselves going to hell if they if they reject Jesus, if they were to unexpectedly die at a young age without Christ? I mean, we don't even like to bring up thoughts of death with children, and we try to speak as sweetly as possible when a loved one in our family dies, and we have to in some way talk about how, why this person in the family is no longer with us and all these things. Very delicate. But if hell is real, and being a child doesn't guarantee entrance into heaven, at least those of us who are Reformed don't typically believe that. Well, Reformed Baptists anyway don't believe that. Tell us about that very delicate and sensitive issue.
I think that's a very pertinent question. And well, my children received the teaching I gave when they asked me questions about that. And if people died and we didn't know whether they were Christians or not. You know, there's a great story from the island of Lewis, up there where the free grace is so loved by the people. There was a man, and he was going in his cart with a horse pulling him along the edge of his farm, which was on a cliff top, and suddenly the cliff gave way and he fell through the air with the horse and cart, and as he was falling he cried to God for mercy, that God would save him, and he landed on a big pile of sand and seaweed. It cushioned his fall and his life was spared. And he lived for many, many years and adorned the gospel by a change of life. But the point that he made was this. If he had landed on rocks and he had been killed, his brains had been smashed to pieces, they wouldn't have known, no one would have known, that while he was in flight, between the saddle and the ground, I mercy sought and mercy found. He was crying to God and receiving the assurance that God heard him and saved him. They wouldn't have known. And his point was this great point. We can't answer your question about where's this person? Where's this beloved grandfather, grandmother that you prayed about so long? We don't know. You spoke to them on their beds as they were dying, and and urged them to believe and told them that the love of God was so great, and that the dying thief at the end, he came to know the Lord, and the Lord remembered him. Today you'll be with me in paradise. We don't know, and we give people then as much comfort as we can from the little we know of the human heart. And we often say there are going to be great surprises when we get to heaven. And thank God that there will be.
So just as you don't believe in lying to children about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, not that there's never a place for fairy tales in the lives of children, but just sure. So that they're not told these stories as if they are just as truthful as the stories about Jesus and the other characters in the scriptures. I'm assuming that you would also be against parents immediately, and very often it may just due to a rightful desire not to traumatize their children.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still wrong if it's a lie to immediately tell a child when a loved one in the family dies, oh, they're in heaven, when, to your knowledge, the person never made a profession of faith in Christ. They might have been a wicked person.
Of course.
And maybe the child doesn't know about the wicked side of this person. That doesn't mean that the person did not come to Christ without our knowledge somewhere on their deathbed or something. But to guarantee or to just comfort the child, oh, he's in heaven or she's in heaven, that would be wrong if we're not certain where the person's state was before God, right?
Oh, Chris, you've been to funerals of people who never went to church, and the preachers have lied to a congregation that all is well with this man, and have given an assurance that they had no right to give, because our Lord talks about the bifurcation of the destinies of the whole human race. We do not believe in universalism. That is a lie from the pit, and it denigrates the great hellish suffering of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross. And, and children will take it on board that the horrible things that they hear about, the cruelty, the abuse, the killings, the murders, God knows, be sure your sin will find you out.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now, and if anybody would like to join us with your own questions, please try to do that as soon as possible, because we are running out of time. Our email address again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal or private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeff Thomas and Gospelizing Children Through Literature right after these messages.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written which gives you safe, low cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended, then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, we have had on the program for nearly 2 hours now, Jeff Thomas, and he is a prolific writer and conference speaker, most commonly known as a speaker at Banner of Truth conferences and others. And we have been discussing gospelizing children through literature. If you have a question, send it in immediately because we're almost out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state of residence and country of residence. And we have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who asks, must we not be very careful not to make biblical stories that have very vital truths attached to them too goofy and silly so that they will appeal to children? Immediately, what comes to mind are the frequently seen pictures of Noah's Ark, where you have goofy-looking animals with big, goofy smiles on their face as if they're enjoying a wonderful boat ride, and the rest of the story doesn't seem to be present, which obviously includes very horrible and terrifying things.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah. Of course. I think that's... There's always the giraffe, isn't there? Oh, no. Above the ark in every story, yeah, sentimentalizing it and not a story of judgment and selective deliverance of one man, grace focusing on him and his sons and daughters-in-law and his wife and their deliverance, yeah. It's just a parody, a humanistic view. It's making them like Hans Christian Andersen and any of the other tales of the Grimm brothers. And yeah, I'm so sorry when I come across those things too. And I don't want us to identify with them or support publishers or magazines or denominational papers that stoop to such a destruction of biblical religion.
Yes, and at the same time, God, in his infinite wisdom, he created animals, I think, not only for his own purposes, which are the first and foremost and primary reasons he created them, for his own enjoyment. I know that, well, at least I believe that a part of his reason for creating them is to entertain children. And and I mean, he did make animals at times. I've seen enough videos on YouTube to know that they do goofy and funny things. But we don't want to trivialize the stories themselves of the Bible.
Oh, yes, it's a wonderful creation. Yes, the beauty and the fascination. How you can look at a zebra or a hippopotamus or an elephant and not believe in God.
Yes. And we have Grady, a very faithful and loyal and generous supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, who says, greetings, brothers Chris and Jeff. Even though I was 33 before the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin and drew me to himself, I've never forgotten that my godly Christian mom not only prayed for me, but as a child she shared Bible stories had me memorize scriptures and sung hymns to me. Even though I rebelled for many years, the Lord used these several times to keep me from horrible sins. Don't you think that we should do all of these when our children are young and allow our Heavenly Father to do the convincing and changing of the heart when he sees fit?
Amen, amen. My daughter was a school teacher, is a school teacher, my middle girl. And in the school where Prince Charles's wife, Camilla, where she sent her children, a very posh school, she had a class of 18 and an assistant, and she had the seven-year-olds, and so she read the Bible with them and asked them what she should pray for and prayed with them every day, and no parent raised any objections to it at all. And so then the school went to Bristol Zoo and they saw all the animals, the annual trip to Bristol Zoo. And the staff then wanted to teach the children some lessons from the animals and from creation. And so the man stood in front of them and he said, "Now, children, where does the rain come from?" And he was going to say the cycle of the sea and the evaporation and the clouds and the rain going into the sea and how he was just going to talk like that. And the children looked back at him and they said, God sends the rain. And then they all together said it again and again, God sends the rain. And the other teachers, not Christians, looked across and at my daughter and she smiled back at them and put her thumb up in the air. She said, "My kids, they're learning from me." And the man was flabbergasted and he looked at them and he said, "Well, I don't know if he sends all the rain. The doctrine of limited providence, he believed in." But those children had a year in which the reality of a God who hears and answers prayer, a God who spared not his own son, they had that, didn't they? There is a green hill far away outside a city wall where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. Oh, dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming love and try his works to do. Those wonderful stories that you tell children. Oh, yes, thank God for mothers who read to our friend here and prayed for him and that he will one day see her again in a new heavens and a new earth. That's the joyful message of the gospel.
Amen. And just Grady helped remind me of the power of singing, especially perhaps with children, because of the way that singing really, I don't know what kind of science is behind it, but there's something about singing that helps children and people in general remember things. I mean, why do most of us remember the alphabet? Because we sing it. I sit in utter amazement and astonishment when I see children in evangelical churches who remember all the books of the Bible because of songs they're singing.
And catechisms, Chris.
Yes.
Made me? God made me. What else did God make? God made all things. Why did God make all things? For his own glory. Where do we learn about God? In the Bible book. And so on. My, they can sing that. On and on, they've learned all the catechism because it's been set to music.
And we've got to get a record producer out there somewhere to sign up Jeff Thomas for a new a new album. But we are out of time, and I want to thank you so much, Jeff, for being our guest today. And I know that, God willing, you are returning the last Monday of this month, March 29th, to be our guest once again. And we have you twice signed up for April as well. Thank you so much for doing such an excellent job. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.